Today we begin a new quarter. We're studying the life of David, themes in the life of David, and we appreciate you being with us this morning. I would like to ask if we could, Scott, would you make sure everybody gets an outline? If you don't have an outline, raise your hand and Scott will get one to you. You may not realize this, but if you go through the Bible and you look at the amount that is written on the various Bible characters, outside of Jesus Christ, more is written about David than any other Bible character. There's just an enormous amount of material that we have on David. And in planning for our studies, we realized that we could not do a textual study of all the things written about David, and so we decided that what we would do for a quarter is do what I call themes of the life of David. And by doing that, and we're going to be doing that, I think, in this class and other material, like later, I believe it's this year, that I'll be doing a series on the messianic themes in the book of Isaiah, where we'll take not the whole book, but we'll try to take the fulfilled prophecy regarding Jesus in Isaiah, and there, what that way we can study Isaiah without covering everything. This morning, the first lesson in this series is called David's Courage, a Product of a Biblical Faith. If you follow the chart or the outline, courage is described as the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or vicissitudes with self-possession, confidence, resolution, bravery. People admire courage, but how do you develop courage? How do you develop the ability to stand when no one else is willing to stand? I like the quote on the outline. I don't have it on the chart. It says, if there is one thing upon earth that mankind loves and admires better than another, it is a brave man. A man who dares look the devil in the face and tells him he's the devil. I like that quote by James Garfield. Now, David had a courage that the world could not understand. You're going to find that a spiritual man is going to look at the world differently. And a spiritual man will stand in situations that the carnal man would think is crazy. But David was a man who really built a faith in God. And his faith came from his home, from his family. And we'll talk about that as we develop this. I don't know of anyone that probably in the Bible outside of Jesus that faced more fearful circumstances than David. David didn't just have a single fearful instance, although he had a couple of them. Remember when Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a spear and he dodged the spear and ran. But David had months and years where he had an entire nation, it seemed to be, trying to kill him through Saul's efforts. And he had to flee an army, the very army of Israel. And he was often betrayed by people that he trusted. And so we're going to talk about courage and talk about its meaning. Listen to David's own words. Well, it looks like we've got somebody to go back up there. It looks like you might move the mouse to the wrong side there, and it's not changing. If you look in David's own words, and we can, while we're getting that going, in Psalms 16, verses 7 and 8, David says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now that's how you develop courage. You come to understand the presence of God. You come to understand, there we go, I think we're okay now. You come to understand that the Lord is always before you. And you know, I think one person made a comment, I don't have it here, I think, in the outline, but how if a man, if he fears God, he fears nothing else. But if a man doesn't fear God, he fears many things. And that's really the essence here as we talk about building courage. Now let's go ahead in Roman numerals 1, and we'll talk about how, you know, David developed courage at a very young age. And you develop courage from the home. I know that, I hope that, the efforts that I know Yvette and I have tried to make with our children, we hope that the Lord will bless us with children that are faithful, I know there's always, you never know how things are going to work out. I know every one of you as parents are doing your best to instill a faith in your children. And I'll say this, as you do that and you're successful, the Lord will instill a faith greater than your own. The Lord can take that seed and make it into something greater, and I know that's our goal. In the case of Jesse, as he tried to raise his boys, the seed took effect with David. It's quite interesting here, and you may have never thought about this, but Jesus's genealogy. If you'll go through like the book of Matthew and you look at the genealogy of Jesus, you would find certain breaking points. You know that you've got Adam, and you go from Adam to Abraham. Then you go from Abraham to David. And then from David to Jesus. And what we would find as we'll study is that Jesus was to be a descendant of David. But now notice, when the messianic prophecy is to show that Jesus is a descendant of David, it is put in a different way here. Here, Jesus is described as the root of Jesse. In Isaiah 11:10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Now let's just stop for a moment. Who's Jesse? Who's Jesse, class? I know you know this. David's father. Now I don't think that's by accident. I believe in this case, by the very fact that Jesse is named here, that Jesse had some things to do in building David into being the man that he was. And so again, I would say with confidence, God doesn't give Jesse that attention, although Jesse probably never knew that that prophecy would be written. You know, he may never come to see the credit that God gave him. But by the fact that Jesse is named, I would imply from that he did a good job as a daddy. Romans 15:12 is quoted in the New Testament. Again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope." So, you know, as you talk about developing a biblical faith, it comes from the home. Let me just ask for a moment, class, without us getting into the verses. How does a good home teach courage? How can we as mothers and daddies have an atmosphere in the home where we will have a child that will come out determined and strong? How do you do that? Yeah, you can see it in your parents. Your parents willing to stand. And willing to stand without a lot of complaint. You know, this is right. Here's what we do. It's courage is just the way. That's just the nature it is. Now, sometimes I'll joke in our household, and I hope, again, I'm not trying to put us as necessarily as examples. We hope that we're doing the right thing. We're trying our best. But sometimes I'll joke about, well, I hope that if somebody's aroused, they're hard-headed. And what I mean by that we're willing to stand and be determined and not give in when it's right. Now, I'm not talking about hard-headed, about not listening or not willing to change when you're doing wrong. But you see, there's a lot of things. In order to have strength, there needs to be a peace within. And I believe there is a confidence and a comforting and a good atmosphere within the home. There's not a lot of anger. There's not a lot of conflict. You find strength will come out of how you're raised in a home, the kind of character that is built consistently, day in and day out. There's a confidence within. A person that stands generally knows who they are and where they're going. And so again, we talk about developing the home, like in this verse, Ephesians 6:4, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Now, one of the things you see here in the raising of a child, it says, "But bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord." You want to develop a child that has a little courage, then let your home be sort of like a basket case. Let there be a lot of screaming and emotion and fussing and ups and downs and all kinds of chaos. It's very hard for a child to come out of that with a sense of courage and purpose. As one, and I'm going to be talking this morning, by the way, in the class, in the sermon about depression and dealing with that and the struggles that Christians can have with depression. And you'll find many times that when a person does not have a strong confidence in their own spirit, it's very hard to be courageous. It's hard. You can. You still can be, but it's hard. And James 1 again talks about, again, we're talking about here the idea of anger. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so there's a lot of angles we could look at about developing the home, but that is one that I think is very important. Now let's talk about another aspect of the idea of our home and how we develop strength. And again, I'm looking at the printed outline. It looks like I didn't put every point up on the chart, but David learned how to control his fears. If you really want to define, another way of defining courage is courage is the heart that has the ability to control the fear. Fear is, there's a place for fear. But many times fear will carry us in places that are not logical. It's like, people that sometimes don't obey God. They're afraid that their fear tells them if you obey God, it's going to cost you and you can't do it, or you're going to have some consequence and you're afraid of the consequence. How do we overcome fear? Well, first off, if you're going to overcome fear, you've got to have knowledge. We've got to know what to fear. Stephen was here visiting with a friend from Lincoln, Nebraska, Shelley Wright. And it's kind of funny. I've got an old video. When we were in Nebraska, Shelley and Stephen were toddlers, and Nathan was even younger. And they were in a little ball pit in a restaurant, you know, in one of these fast food restaurants. You know, in the winter up there, you find some place to take the kids out. And those ball pits up in Lincoln, Nebraska in the winter, you know, that's a place to go. But I'll never forget, Stephen and Shelley saw something in the ball pit, and they were scared to death. They ran out of that ball pit like they saw a ghost. And then they sent Nathan. Nathan was younger. Nathan, go see what that is. And old Nathan, you know, he jumps in the ball pit, goes over there, and it was a bucket. They were scared to death of a bucket. And I would joke with them later about the scary bucket, you know. That bucket wasn't dangerous. But to them at that time, at that age, it might as well have been a snake because they didn't know better. And there's a lot of times we fear things because we lack knowledge. How do you gain knowledge? Well, let's talk about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, there's a lot of things in this life we think we couldn't face, we couldn't get through, but the Lord says you can make it. And there are some things in this life that we don't think is going to be very significant at all. The Lord says you ought to fear it. You see, we need instruction on what to fear, what not to fear. Notice how Jesus put it here. I tell you what, let's have somebody from our audience read for us here, if you'd read loud. Matthew 10, 28 to 31. Who'd like to read? And I'll flip the chart or read from your Bible. Josh, how about that? All right, so again, here Jesus talked to us about what to fear, what not to fear. We can sometimes fear when there's danger and potential loss. We can fear when there's uncertainty over what the consequences of a thing may be. And again, what should we fear? And I think it's important to understand that a biblical faith will learn what to fear, what not to fear. What do you fear, Christian? What do you fear? Now, when we talk about fear, again, we need to get into the life of David here. I know there's a lengthy introduction, but just remember this, that those that are lost are going to be lost for lack of faith. And one of the ways you can describe a lack of faith is fear. You know, I think one of the things I wanted my children to learn early on in school is don't be afraid to stand on a scriptural principle. There were times in physical education classes where they would be having dances or other things, and we would pull our kids out of that. And They didn't like to be different, but they were willing to stay. And later when we take band trips and things, that there would be events that would be on Sunday morning, and we would pull them out of that, and we'd go to church. We would do various things along the line that would cause our children, you know, to kind of they stand out, and we're not doing that to make them be seen by others, but we were trying to stand for what is right and not be afraid to stand. It's interesting now, my kids, as they go out, I think that they would take a very strong stand concerning attendance. That's one thing. But it's taught over time. Now let's go to David. I know we spent a lot of time talking about what courage is. Now let's get into the life of David, which of course is our study. David was a courageous man. How did he develop his courage? We've suggested already that it came from the home, it came from the family, but now we can let David tell us. Here in 1 Samuel 17, we read about how David was trying to tell others that he could take on Goliath. Everybody's afraid of Goliath. But notice how David talked about how, well, I know I can take this man because as a young boy, here's some of the things that I did. Verse 34 says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came out and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go and the Lord be with you.'" And so, again, you know, we want to develop courage. It starts from youth on. How many of you have sometimes faced something you never thought you could do? You're afraid, scared to death of it. Let me give you an illustration. It's at the end of the outline, but I want to give it to you now. I remember when I was at North Gardendale, I was at the house of a family called the Waters. And I remember the husband of the house made this bold statement. He says, "Did you know you could take a piece of paper and go up to a wasp's nest and they don't see the white and make sure the paper's thick enough, and you could go up there and just slowly push that paper right up to the wasp nest and grab the wasp and just crunch it up and throw it away?" Now, you don't know the kind of guy I am. I don't like wasps, okay? And when I heard that, I kind of go, "Oh, that's really interesting." And then by the way, it was in August, and I managed to go outside immediately and started looking for a wasp nest. And he had 3 or 4 or 5 wasp nests around his house. And so I came back in, I said, "Could we see this practiced?" Now, I probably shouldn't have done that because I doubted him, okay? I doubted him. I couldn't see myself doing that. And he just as calmly as could be got his piece of paper. And he went up there to a wasp nest, and there I was about 20, 30 feet away looking, and he did it. He did it to every wasp nest he had. And threw away. Now, I want to tell you something. I gained some knowledge that day. I learned that he could do it. Now, I couldn't do it. And I won't do it. But I guess if I had to do it, I could. But here, you know, he was able to, here was a case of knowledge. Here, he knew what could be done. He had some knowledge I didn't have. And he developed courage. Now, if the Lord told me to go crush wasp nest, I'd do that, okay? But this is not something. This is just an incidental. But it's how you overcome things. You learn, and then you stand. And so, how old was David when he did these things? I would say a teenager, if not younger. Do not underestimate the ability of children to develop a strength and a courage that sometimes as adults are afraid to do. And so faith grows by practice. And so that's why tests are so important. What do we mean by test here? Here David is talking about why he could take on Goliath. What do we mean we talk about test? Do you just build courage all at once? What you do is you go through steps. You go through tests. That's one thing I like about sports. I've always enjoyed team sports, competitive sports, because it gives me a chance to work with my children and they get real emotional. And that's another characteristic of Rouses, that we can be rather competitive. And sometimes in that competition, you lose your spirit, you lose control. You tend to be overcome by circumstances and situations. And you know, if you're going to learn in sports, do you know where you learn the most? Where do you learn the most in sports if you're in a team sport? Do you learn the most from success? I have found you learn the most from failure and disappointment. And it's in those situations you can sit down and, you know, you can talk about this and you can talk about why this happened and certain things. Sometimes you're afraid of certain things. I can remember, you know, I was always afraid of getting hit when I played baseball, you know. Oh, man. And I was also afraid when I played football, too. Now, I never overcame that one. I remember one time I was playing line and I came through the line and we had a really good running back. And I was getting ready to try to hit him, and he lowered his head. And he hit my helmet right there. I remember waking up, you know, looking up at the stars, you know, and had a big old bump on my head. And I decided that wasn't for me. I didn't overcome my fear there. But when it comes to baseball, I overcame that fear. But it took some time. It took my dad talking to me. And it took time getting back in the batter's box. That's the idea of test. Parents, I'm just telling you this as we study the life of David. What if David's dad said, well, you know, there's lions out there. There's bears out there. I don't want my boy to be a shepherd. You're just not going to go out there, David. I'm not going to let you face those dangers. What if he'd been pulled back and never faced it? David may not have had the faith that he later had. And I'm saying again, for us, sometimes as parents, some of the greatest stands and opportunities is when our children have to stand and they are ridiculed because they take a stand for their faith. They take a stand for what is right. They choose to tell the truth rather than cover something up. They choose to do what's right rather than cheat on a test. And people take advantage of them because of that. We need to understand how courage comes. Goliath was just another step in the life of David. Now, let's contrast David, though, at this time with the people around him. Now, when we talk about Israel, Israel was the country whose constitution was the Bible. And you think about the army of Israel, there was Saul, who had been chosen by God. Here, these are the greatest warriors that Israel had. And notice how they responded to the Philistine, to Goliath. In verse 23 of 1 Samuel 17, it says, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him will the king enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give him his father's house, exemption from taxes in Israel. Boy, I guess even back then, you know, tax exempt, you know, don't have to pay the government. I find that funny there, that last part, but you get exempt from taxes. And so here, you know, people, well, here's a great opportunity. But the people wouldn't stand. David was puzzled at this. In verse 31, it says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now let me tell you something else about courage. Courage may make you different from your brethren. You know, sometimes I find it interesting in a local congregation of sometimes we can be so afraid of something. I know there have been times from the pulpit I preached a lesson, try to make it plain. I want to preach in a place where I've made people think that I'm reading your mail. You know, I want it to be applicable. I want you to hear, and if there's something falling short that, you know, this person can hear. And I've had people come up to me, what was your response to that lesson? I've had some people come to me, they bring a visitor, I've got a visitor, and they're from this background. In other words, don't preach on anything that might offend them. And I don't try to go offend anyone, but in terms of the gospel, in terms of teaching, you know, a courageous person will say, well, yeah, people want to hear the truth, don't they? You want to hear the truth. But there's sometimes there are my brethren, they are afraid of that. They are scared of that. If you preach on something that somebody may see their sin and they could get mad, well, okay, they might repent too. You know, that's their goal. But it's quite interesting as a congregation can develop over time what I call a leadership of fear, where you're just afraid. Not doing what is the best and what is right. You want to look around, well, how in the world are we going to get that to the business meeting? Or what may happen if we go down this path? So I'm saying again, courage. Courage is not arrogance. Courage is not running over people. But courage is building by faith, looking at what the Lord wants and standing on it. And you know what you find many times when you have courage? It can be shared. And it could be just one person standing in the gap that others might start standing with them. And that's what you find here. By the way, by the time the day is over, what happens to the Goliath and what happens to the Philistines? Tell me the rest of the story. What happens to Goliath? Well, he loses his head. And what happens to the Philistines? They suddenly enter a marathon. They start trying to run at a 100-meter dash speed marathon, and they are slaughtered. Fear's on the other side. And so again, as we talk about this here, the stand of one man made a great difference. But you see, David was concerned about fear spreading. And brethren, I would just say to us, we need to be worried about that too. We don't need to be so worried about what other people are saying about the congregation or what other people may do. No, what we do confidently, if we know what is right, well, here's what is right. We can do this. We don't need to be fearful about so many possibilities. You remember, I don't think I have this verse down, but remember the spies? In Numbers 13, there were 12 spies. You remember the spies, don't you? Paltai, you remember him, don't you? You remember Shamer. You're very familiar with him. I'm sure you memorized his name in Bible class, right? No. How about Caleb and Joshua? It's very interesting as you look here at the spies. Fear is so easily caught and spread. It's so easily spread. And here the 10 spies were fearful and the whole nation of Israel was fearful. There were two men saying, no, you don't have to go down that path. But the leadership of fear in this case overcame. Notice again as you look at the destruction in 1 Samuel 18 of the destruction of the Philistines. Let's talk about a few things in class now if we could. Class again. I know this is easy, but let's ask this question. What is courage and what is fear? And I want to get some discussion here. What is courage? Is courage going out on the interstate, standing in the middle line, screaming, jumping up and down? That's not courage, is it? That's crazy. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Confidence in the Lord ultimately is where courage comes. Yes. Yeah. And that really is the key. I mean, and having others around you. I have other people around me that people would consider hard heads. I remember I had one man tell me, well, you know, we're kind of considered different in the church. And I'm going, no, we shouldn't be. Just standing on things, standing on what you're teaching, that shouldn't be different. This isn't, I'm not trying to boast on us and talk, look at us, but I'm saying there is, people of faith are not afraid. And they'll be calm and they'll reason with you, and here's why is good, you know, just like the Caleb and Joshua. Here's why we can take it. Come on, guys, look at what God's done. We've defeated the Egyptians through God's power. We've got the signs of His presence. Come on, guys, this is nothing. But you see, you develop courage by other people of faith. And then you think of the Bible characters. David is a great example that we're going to learn from in this study. We just finished Footsteps of Jesus. And I'm mindful, and I don't think we even covered this on the Footsteps of Jesus, but there was one point in His ministry. The Bible said that His face was set toward Jerusalem. And one of His disciples said, let's go with Him to Jerusalem that we might die. You know, they were like going, this is crazy. You don't need to go. Okay, we'll go. We'll follow you. You know, because they still didn't quite have the understanding of what Jesus was going to do and why He did it. But you see, we need to be men and women of faith. Now, how about fear on the other hand? What's fear? Is there a place to fear? Absolutely. But what is fear in a negative sense, okay? No. Yes. Yes. That is right. No, but no, it does. You know, fear is telling you can, and the Lord tells you can. And that the fear is not eliminated. That's right. So, fear never goes away. There, matter of fact, one of the things about my kids, particularly Emily, when she was younger, she knew no fear, and that worried me. You know, about anything, you know. And so there's a sense you want to develop a sense of fear in things. That's a good thing. There's some things to be afraid of. But here's the idea of knowledge. We keep coming back, a knowledge of the Lord, a knowledge of what you can do. I'll never forget the first marathon I ran. Now, that's a crazy thing. You don't have to run a marathon. You're a little crazy to run a marathon, okay. But I remember running my first marathon. You know, I had prepared for it. There still was fearfulness, but I had a game plan. And I had done some work ahead of time. And so, you know, in life, you talk about the differences here. How does one control their fears? How does one control the fear? Let's say here somebody needs to hear the gospel. And you're trying to find a way to break that open to them. Or let's say a Christian that you really need to talk to them about some things that you got to help them with. And they may get mad at you. How do you control your fears? Put the Lord first, and then you gain knowledge. Knowledge. You know, if I'm going to talk with somebody, how can I talk? Lord, help me here. How do I do this, you know? Can I be a Nathan, you know, like when he came to David and told David about his sin with Bathsheba? You know, he had a great way of approaching it. Lord, help me. Help my tongue. Give me an opportunity. Give me wisdom. Okay. Number three, what is the difference between brashness and courage? Because there's a lot of people say you ought to be courageous. And really, they're foolish. What some people call courage, the Bible would call foolishness. And so there is some discernment here. What's the difference between brashness and courage? Okay. Rooted in emotionalism? How do you know if you're an emotionalist? Your anger? Yeah, you're not in control. I go back on this answer, knowledge. I'm almost given the same, you know. Courage is directed by fear of God, a respect of God, and knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge. This is the path to take. Don't fear the consequences. And finally, how does one develop courage, and how can parents build courage in their children? Yes. And sometimes we discipline in emotion, and that's not good, you know, in our children. You know, there has to be a control, a teaching side to that. Great points. Great points. Okay, we'll continue with this material next week. And again, we'll appreciate in time. We're going to post all the outlines in advance on the web. I haven't quite got them completed yet, but this one will be up this week. And for our visitors, if you want to download audio, PowerPoint, and outlines, and follow us from a distance, they will be posted on the website. Thank you for your participation today.